Hi, and welcome to Pastor's Ponderings. I'm Pastor Kevin.
And I'm Pastor Ryan.
And we're glad you're able to join us.
We look forward to diving into this past Sunday's sermon and other things that are going on in our world. We hope that you enjoy your time with us this week. Happy Tuesday, Kevin.
Yes, happy Tuesday to you as well, Ryan. Good to have you out there, our listening audience. I know that a few of you are very faithful at listening to our jibber jab.
Yes.
Back and forthing. And this is one of those wonderful times when we can look back on the service together. We had our international worker from North Africa here teaching.
Yeah.
And the subject was, the series is the fourfold gospel, the Christ our Savior, Sanctifier, Healer, and Coming King. And Dave took the healer.
The healer.
And he did a masterful
Absolutely
job.
Phenomenal. Masterful job. Yeah.
Very, very good. Mm-hmm. The title of the message was Jesus, Could You, Would You Heal? And I thought that was very good because he picked three stories from the book of Mark.
Right.
And each one of them was a story about someone who asked basically that question.
Right. Can you heal me? Could you hear me? Would you heal me? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how at the end, they all received their healing. But as he said at the end of his message, these stories aren't about healing.
No.
They're about the healer. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really excellent how he pulled that together. Yeah, there was one quote that stuck out to me that I mentioned to start us off here, but it was, the healing is temporal, but the healer is permanent.
Yeah.
Nothing like making you think.
Right? Because how many times are we so focused on what's in front of us, especially when it involves sickness?
Yeah.
Because it's not something that's easily ignored.
Right.
If you're, if you got the aches and pains, if you're... body is deteriorating, if you're coughing or whatever the symptoms might be, it's hard to ignore. It's right in front of your face.
It's a very felt need.
Yeah.
And to be able, and I don't think you need to do mental gymnastics to think this way, because you know, you hear about some people who are like, fake it till you make it.
Right.
You know, block it out of your mind.
Yeah.
and I don't, that's not what he's talking
about. No, not at all.
No, he is really saying, of course you're going to be in pain, but know this, know that even if you receive a healing, it's temporal. You know, like we were joking around before, Lazarus.
He died twice.
Ultimate healing. And he had to go through death twice.
Right.
You know, I don't know if it was a good thing or bad thing. I wonder if he wondered about that at the end of his second death.
Right. Hopefully that one was peaceful.
Yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully that one was nice and peaceful.
Yeah. And nobody awoke him from the grave covered in grave clothes.
Right.
What an experience.
Yeah.
I want to do an interview with Lazarus when I get to heaven. Mm-hmm. Tell me what you felt and saw when you got became alive, but you were basically mummified.
Right.
How do you... Anyway, that's a rabbit trail. Right. So even if we are healed, it's temporal. Mm-hmm. I think it puts it in its proper place, right? I think that's...
Absolutely.
I think it allows me to have the freedom to trust that he'll heal me. And if it's not going to happen here, I still have the healer with me.
That's right. Absolutely.
And I don't have to beg. I don't have to persuade. He is the healer. Mm-hmm. So, and I like how he drew that string and he said, you know, any healing is really the presence of Christ. Mm-hmm. Really, that's what that is.
Yeah.
So you call upon the presence of Christ within to bring health to your mortal body.
Yeah.
But the healing is always temporal, but you still carry on with him in your life. Mm-hmm. And I've always had question marks about, you know, I guess maybe the whole idea that whatever we ask for in his name, we shall receive, and how it doesn't jive with the experience of praying for healing. Like, I know if I ask for salvation, I have salvation.
Absolutely.
No, I don't have full salvation because we're waiting for that to come.
Right.
Right. His return, which is what we're going to talk about next Sunday.
Yes.
So I know I don't have full salvation, but I have a deposit. I know what I have.
Right.
And even in the sense of healing, then I should be able to put that in the category of, yes, by his stripes, I am healed, present tense.
Right.
So just like I am saved, present tense, but I don't have full healing yet because I am still in this world.
Right.
And I still struggle.
Yeah. We still are looking forward to a new body. This yes. one has been marred by sin.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, it's going to have its aches and pains and struggles and sickness.
Yeah. Yeah. Very true.
But ultimately, we have Christ our healer. And that's really what we've been talking about the last few weeks, is moving away from the thing to the person.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it isn't that we just receive salvation. We receive Christ as our salvation, as our Savior.
Yep.
We don't just receive sanctification. We receive Christ as our sanctification. Mm-hmm. And in the same way, we don't just receive healing. It isn't a thing that we're looking for. It's a person. Mm-hmm. And so even when circumstances don't point to the idea of healing, they don't point to the reality of healing, we can stand confidently and continue walking forward in victory, knowing that we have Christ our healer. We have the person. If we have trusted in him as our Savior, we have him within us as healer. And he's going to lead us into healing.
Yep. Very good. You know, that reminds me of an old hymn that Simpson wrote.
Oh yeah.
Once it was the blessing, now it is the Lord.
Yes.
Once it was the healing, now the healer own.
Yes.
Boy, I'm just scratching my memory trying
That's
to think
of it. Yes. It's from his famous sermon, Himself.
Yes. Himself is the name of the hymn, I
think. Yeah. And this was a pivotal message in A.B. Simpson's ministry.
Yep.
It was that we seek Christ. He is our ultimate treasure. He is a supreme treasure.
Yeah. Once it was the blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was the feeling, now it is his word. Once the gift I wanted, now the giver own. Once I sought for healing, now himself alone. All in all forever, only Christ I'll sing. Everything in Christ, and Christ is everything. And then he goes on, all the lyrics.
Right.
It's quite an amazing hymn.
Yeah.
And I remember as a boy, we sang that a lot as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes, you know, I mean, it was, it's actually kind of one of those old marching kind of hymns.
Oh, yeah.
Dun, 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 that yeah. kind of feeling to it. you know, you think back to when your childhood and how those hymns shaped your mind.
Oh, absolutely.
And I don't know if the current sort of contemporary style shapes your mind the same way. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I think it does shape your mind because you're worshiping, right?
So right.
Anything you're doing
yeah, definitely.
Worship, it's going to shape your mind.
Right.
But when you go through a hymn like that and you see the progression that he goes all the way through like four or whatever, eight stanzas,
right.
however many you put in, and you always come back to the
right.
chorus, you know, and how that affects your life and how that affects who you are and even how you perceive things. And it puts into your head this sort of, I guess, the pathway that we receive by the Holy Spirit through our founder, this whole idea of Christ and who he is, Christ himself. That's all
right.
we need, right?
Yeah.
And even last week, we talked about this with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We call him the Holy Spirit.
Right.
He is the Holy Spirit. Yeah. But several times, he is called the Spirit of Christ.
Spirit of Christ, yeah.
And again, it always seems to channel it back to Christ.
Back to Jesus,
right?
Yeah.
Back to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought this would be a really good thing to maybe teach our congregation. If there's anybody here that knows it, maybe sometime in the future we can do that.
Yeah.
I'll have to teach it to our worship leader.
Right.
It's pretty basic, I think, chord-wise, but it's a hard hymn to sing because it goes really low and then really high.
Oh yeah.
And that was a typical Simpson sort of note. Yeah. You know, we're all going to be singing falsetto before
right.
we finish. We're all going to be groveling down here
right.
in the gravel trying to sing it out.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what I remember about my childhood.
Yeah.
Singing Simpson hymns.
Mm-hmm. You made an interesting point, the impact that those old hymns have. And like I grew up with hymns growing up. And,
yeah.
I remember as an adult being in a church that for a while, all that they did was contemporary just because, the guy leading this on the guitar, that's what he could do. And so, and then he started learning some of the old hymns. And so we started singing some of the old hymns. And I remember almost that feeling of nostalgia.
Yeah.
But deeper than that,
yeah.
it was like a spiritual nostalgia
yeah.
of
yeah.
hearing some of those old songs again yeah. and singing sure. them again of those, some of those truths and yeah.
the doctrinal parts of it, you know?
Right.
Yeah. That you're singing, although, you know, it's rich doctrine.
Right.
But you wouldn't think of it totally that way, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think of, you know, those are foundational truths that you go back to mm-hmm. that, you know, at the end of your life, when you're facing death,
yeah.
those foundational truths that come back that bring you peace, that bring you joy,
yeah.
those sorts of things. And when you think of healing, you think of sickness. Well, if you don't have that foundation of Christ mm-hmm. to lean back on,
yeah.
then you are going to be lost. You are going to be discouraged. And so I think it's so important that we, again, are focused on Christ himself as our healer, not just healing, because in this life, you will face trials of various kinds.
Yeah.
That's a reality.
Exactly.
And if we're simply going after the gifts,
yeah.
then we're going to be let down.
Yeah.
But when the foundation, who we're going back to, is the giver of those gifts, mm-hmm. then we'll never be disappointed.
Yeah.
He's never going to not give us himself.
Right. Yeah. And he's eager to do that.
That's right. He's eager and ready.
And you get the impression, I think, even from scripture and even the passages that were read on Sunday, that the healing is not in and of itself for itself.
Right.
It's meant to be a precursor to knowledge, or maybe a pathway or a journey
right.
towards faith in Christ.
That's right.
Right. So, and I think there's a couple places in the New Testament where it talks about the signs and wonders
mm-hmm.
that were happening.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about it, though, if it's a sign, well, what's this a sign to?
Mm,
like, exactly. why yeah. is it a sign? What's that make? How does a healing be a sign? A sign to what?
Right.
Well, it's a sign of him,
mm-hmm.
right? And you think, okay, well, you can get caught up in the miracle world because it's exciting. It's
right.
buzz, you know, it's glitz. It's
right.
glamour. Mm-hmm. You know, even the story that he told about the little boy in the hospital who
right.
was born with cartilage rather than bone.
Right.
And they squished his brain and broke mm-hmm. his legs when they pulled him yeah. out of the, you know, when they pulled him out during mm-hmm. birth period. And you think, what? right.
Yeah.
Well, it was shocking, really,
mm-hmm.
The way that's told. But at the end of the day, it was about who Jesus was to
That's
that
right.
family
yeah.
and how he ministered to them. And at the end of the day, he got the treatment he needs. And now he's mm-hmm. about 10 or 12 years old
right.
or something. And I mean, he may have a shortened life, and he may not have the same kind of capacities that we do.
Right.
But he's loved and he's cared for, and he's mm-hmm. a part of the family, and away he goes. Right.
Yeah.
And his bones are hardening. So,
right.
you know, that's what it's about.
Yeah.
So it's not the healing in and of itself is really truly meant to be something that points us towards Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Jesus mentioned those things. If you don't believe me, believe the signs.
Right. right?
That I'm
right.
doing, right.
What are these signs pointing to?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think it's so easy to get caught up on the signs and caught up on the healings mm-hmm. because those things. We like those things. They feel good. They're
yeah, yeah.
fun.
Yeah.
They're exciting. But when we come to even a Sunday morning worship service,
yeah.
and if we're pursuing anything other than Christ,
mm-hmm.
anything we get at best is going to be temporary.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So I think if you say it that way,
mm-hmm.
then what it does to me is it says, well, it's not that I don't like the temporary. I love
right.
it.
Definitely.
Whatever feels good
mm-hmm.
in the moment, helpful, whatever.
Right.
But I have to think beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you go back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego,
yeah,
that's what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't just thinking about the fire.
No.
They were going to be thrown into, although they were probably very much focused
right.
on that. I can't imagine them not being.
Yeah.
But they had every confidence
mm-hmm.
that even if God did not rescue them from the fire.
Right.
He was good. He is a good
yeah.
God. He,
mm-hmm.
they had complete faith and trust in mm-hmm. God's decision,
right?
Whatever
Absolutely.
It might be. And thankfully for them, obviously,
right?
they had this great miracle, and it was a spectacular one.
Yeah.
And of course, it pointed to again in that story. It pointed mm-hmm. to the fourth man.
The fourth man in the fire. Yeah.
So I think of the lepers who came, right? The 10 lepers that Jesus healed.
Right.
Only one came back and said thanks. Mm-hmm. But the others, their healing didn't go away just because they weren't thankful.
Right.
I don't think so.
I don't think they would. Yeah.
And but Jesus specifically said to this man, go and your sins, your faith has saved you.
Right.
Go. So there's this idea that the purpose behind it was for him to come back. And he's the one guy out of 10
right.
who got more from Jesus than just his healing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the relationship.
Right.
And the other 9 forfeited.
Yeah.
Because they were maybe happy with their healing.
Right.
Which is not a bad thing.
No, but they forfeited what they needed, was Jesus himself.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
Very, very true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I liked in the message too, how he drew the dichotomy. Again, we've been studying Mark for how long? And we missed this one. We missed the woman in the crowd versus the, what was he called? The guy
who ran the leader of the synagogue. Yeah.
I didn't know if there was a name for him or not.
Mm-hmm.
But Jairus was his name.
Right? Jairus, yeah.
Jairus, yeah. And we don't even get her name. So there was, that was one thing, right?
There's a few different things that.
And he did a really good job. Like she was not known, he was known. Mm-hmm. She was poor. She spent all her money. She was penniless. And yet he was wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
His daughter was 12 and she had been suffering for 12 years.
Yeah.
You know, like he drew all those.
Yeah.
And the beauty of it was that at the end of the day, even though all these contrasts were being made, they both received their healing. And then he said, it wasn't about the healing.
That's right.
It was about Jesus.
Yeah.
That was a very good way of helping us, bringing us to a knowledge that healing, again, temporal, permanent, Jesus.
Right. Right?
He's with us forever, right through.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that brings such great peace when we don't see the healing in front of our eyes.
Yeah.
When we pray for physical healing and we don't see it happen.
That's right. Yeah.
Because ultimately we have the promise that God works all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose.
Yes.
He desires so much more for us than we could ever even imagine.
Yeah.
And so if we don't receive something that we ask for, it isn't because he is mad at us. It isn't because he's withholding. He's giving us all that we need.
Yeah.
He's giving us everything we need for the fullness of joy, for the fullness of knowing him at the end of the day. And sometimes we do need those struggles. Sometimes those pains are necessary to turn our eyes towards him.
Yeah.
No, you know, how many times do you know, I've heard so many people give testimony of how sickness brought them closer to the Lord, about how sickness got their attention, tragedy got their attention. I knew a lady that she was in a wheelchair and she just talking with her and she says, you know, I wouldn't go back because it was a car wreck that got her attention.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I was living for myself.
Mm-hmm.
That car wreck got her attention and she started following hard after Christ.
Mm.
So she said, I wouldn't go back.
Yeah. I've heard that a lot of times.
And it's like, wow.
Yeah.
It's like, no, because this is a reminder.
Mm-hmm.
It's a reminder of where I was at before,
but
where Christ has brought me. And ultimately, he is our treasure.
Yeah, that's right. No, that's a great way to think about it. Yeah. Yeah. I've heard lots of people say, you know, I would do it again because I know now what I get out of it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, what? You'd do that again? It was a terrible experience.
Right.
But at the end of it, that's where they're singing, I know Jesus deeper. I know him more fully. I know his presence more felt. I know in my head, in my heart, that he's there for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was another quote I wanted to read out. And this one's by A.B. Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
And in the context, he's talking about the whole idea of, you know, the idea that Jesus is permanent.
Right.
And you get him. You get the divine healer.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the healing,
right?
Which is great. Healing's great. But you get the divine healer.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what this is how he encapsulated. And I thought it was a really great little quote. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on it.
Mm-hmm.
Have you weak knees and limbs? Well, if you cannot stand upon your own bones, you can stand upon the bones of Christ. Have you a weak heart? Never mind that. Don't wait to see if that heart is better, but take his great throbbing heart. Oh, is it not wonderful? I think I was saying before, you just don't find writers who write like that.
No.
So what do you think it all means when he's talking about the whole idea?
Yeah.
You know, stand upon, if you can't stand upon your own bones, stand upon the bones of Christ. Right? What is all that?
You know, it's this, this idea of walking in victory, even when we don't see the victory, walking in healing, even when we don't see the healing. Mm-hmm. We can either allow sickness and pain and suffering to paralyze us, mm-hmm. where we stay in that spot and we say, I'm not going to move until I see the healing of Jesus.
Right.
Or we can say, I have the healer, mm-hmm. and I know what awaits me, that perfect healing.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to walk in him in this life.
Yeah.
And so, yes, I might still have this pain. I might still have this cancer. I might still have this diagnosis, mm-hmm. but I'm going to walk in the healing of Christ. I'm going to walk in Christ because I know he's already purchased my healing.
Yeah.
He bore the sickness on the cross and he's already taken care of it.
You bet.
And so I'm going to live my life as though I am already healed. Mm-hmm. And that isn't to say that you don't pursue medical treatment by any means.
For
sure. That's a gift of him. Exactly.
Yeah.
We're so incredibly blessed to have the medical system we do.
Yeah. Totally.
But we don't allow continued sickness to steal our joy, to steal our purpose, to steal our peace, mm-hmm. because we have the healer.
Yeah.
And so we can walk on his bones. Mm-hmm. We can trust his beating heart within us. Mm-hmm. That's going to carry us when our weak and feeble temporary body starts to give out.
Yeah. Yeah. I was wondering where did he get that from?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's so clearly put.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you grabbed the nuts and bolts of it.
Mm-hmm.
But where did he get that from? How did he pursue that? And you hear, like, I think of passages in my mind that I've heard since I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord for the body.
Mm-hmm.
So the Lord is for the body.
Yeah.
And so if he's for the body, then his mindset, his will, his desire is for your body.
Mm-hmm.
To be a functioning body,
right?
So you can fulfill the task that he has mapped out for you,
mm-hmm.
like the weaver's hand has put together this beautiful piece of art that is our ministry, that is our life in Christ. And you also hear about the bones. Like, I know there's a story. We tried to figure this one out.
Well,
I don't remember it's found, but I think there was an open pit that Joshua's bones were somehow, or not Joshua, Elisha's bones,
right.
And somehow people fell into this pit and
were healed. Yeah.
So again, on the bones of a great prophet.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus is the bones of a great prophet. He's our priest and our prophet and our king, right?
Yeah.
That's again what's coming next week.
That's coming king, yeah.
And there was another one about bones too, and it was Ezekiel, where he looked out over a vast field of just bones.
Right. Dry bones.
And then suddenly they started coming together in sinew.
Right.
And you think,
flesh was put on them.
God spoke that, and that becomes an army.
Right.
And it was all based on those bones.
Mm-hmm.
And so you think, okay, well, maybe he's drawing from these
imagery from those things. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's saying, okay, if it's your bones you need problems with, they'll stand on the bones of Jesus, right? And I was like, okay, this is good.
Right.
Yeah. And there's so much to think about because like I said before, I don't think we normally talk like this.
No.
But you get the impression this is his language. This is how he talked.
Yeah.
You know, if someone came for healing, you see, he'd say, stand on the bones of Christ.
Right.
And you're like, okay, whatever that means.
What does that mean?
You know, so.
Right.
Yeah. So I think there's some beauty there that you can't escape. Even the heart, is your heart trouble? Or what does he say? Is your heart damaged or is your heart, what did it say? If you have a weak heart, never mind that.
Yeah, so never mind that.
What? Well, then what? Don't wait and see if that heart is better, but take his great throbbing heart.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it all comes down not to the healing, but to
the healer. Yeah.
And you can see where he's going with that.
Yeah. You know, I think another aspect of this is that God has a plan and a purpose and a desire for our lives.
Yeah.
And that is for our sanctification and to use us to reach others with the gospel.
For sure.
And so anything that he allows into our lives is going to be working in one of those two areas. And I think Dave touched on this on Sunday, how, you know, often we separate the spiritual from the physical, and how that's kind of a, you know, a weird thing to do, because a lot of places don't do that, and scripture doesn't do that. And so the physical things that happen in our life have spiritual meaning. And so when we, I think, approach sickness and things like that, I think there's definitely spiritual components to it. Sometimes that is pointing out of sin in our life. Sometimes that is a result of sin. We have been giving into sin. The sickness has come in to get our attention and say, it's time to repent. Sometimes it's that using of that physical suffering to carry out another purpose, reaching others with the gospel. You get cancer. Your neighbor has cancer. As you walk through cancer with Christ carrying through, what a testimony that has in the life of the other person.
Powerful effect.
And so I think when we approach this idea of healing and sickness and all of that, again, we can't separate the physical from the spiritual. And we have to realize, okay, this sickness is happening. There's a reason behind it. And there's a reason that I'm going through this. And first, let me look at my own heart. Let me take account. Okay, is there sin that I've been holding on to? Is there a part in my life that I've allowed to fester that I need to allow the Holy Spirit to cleanse me and to wash me clean from? Or is this producing perseverance in me? Suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Is there others that might be walking through the same struggle, that as I walk through this with Christ, I can be used by him as a testimony to his goodness and his grace.
Very good. I think that would be, like where he's talking about the book of James, where, why would he tell us a pathway for healing if it was over, if there's no connection between the spirit and the physical, then why do we have instruction about how to call the elders, now to come, anoint with oil as a symbol of the spirit, and then confessing to one another. And then the prayer of faith will heal. And you get all of this together. It's a world and it's the spirit coming together. Jesus' prayer, right? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
That's right.
It's all together. There's no... Like, we think of heaven as way out there somewhere.
Right.
It's all intertwined. And you, if you dissect it and you try to live that way, you ruin too much of your life. And you forget that they're all connected. Very true. Yeah, that's quite the way to think. I think my own journey, I need to pick up the pace on that one, because you do tend to focus on the temporal. It's just so easy to do. Even anger, like, you know, you get angry at what the politicians are doing. You get angry about what and you can go on and on. You could have a list of solid reasons to be very angry.
Oh, absolutely.
About political shenanigans and health orders and things like that. But at the same time, and I think you should probably hold account, because that's our system of government. So, you know, participate. But if you let it sink and fester, it gets anger. Whereas if you don't do that and you say, you know what, here it is, here's our opportunity to show and the light of Christ, the fragrance, as we've been talking about, the fragrance of Jesus in the middle of all this chaos. Then what a difference, what a light in the darkness we are.
Absolutely.
And attracting people attracted to that because there's hope in it. There's hope in light. You know, that's, and I think it's really important that we don't live but dissecting. And I think, you know, I think Dave's point was, you know, they even have a term for this, secessionist. Cessationist, or whatever it was called. And you're like, you know, that's very true. Because they thought, well, it's in the Bible, but it can't be for today. And well, no, because the Bible is for today.
That's right.
And so everything is in it is for today. It talks about the combination of earth and heaven coming together, always aligning with each other. And so I think you're right to say, you know, we should probably check. Maybe there's a good reason for why I have this. And there's also the idea that we just live in a broken, fallen world. And so we just need to grapple with where is Jesus in the midst of our turmoil. And maybe that's the reason is to find him there. Because that's a good reason.
That's right.
You may not get your healing, but you'll get the healer.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, that's a great,
if that makes sense.
Right? That's a great place to end. Yeah. I feel encouraged and good. Pray you are as well. Yeah, we'll look forward to next week. Christ, our coming King.
You betcha. It's going to be good.
Thank you for joining us for this week's Pastor's Ponderings. We hope you enjoyed it, and we look forward to diving in again with you next week. But until then, keep loving God and serving people.